Well, welcome along to the official Scottish Rugby podcast. We're into Guinness Six Nations territory. Really looking forward to the buzz, the excitement, the intensity that always comes along when the Guinness Six Nations kicks off. This week, we're absolutely delighted to be joined by Scotland Under-20s captain Rhys Tate and also Scotland captain Stuart Hogg. So Rachel and I are going to look at Six Nations. We're going to look at the squad that's been announced and hope you enjoy it. Talk at a cup week. Guinness Six Nations tees off again this weekend. A whole host of excitement around, well, the Six Nations as it always is, but crowds back, nerves back, two massive encounters starting on Friday night. I'm delighted to say we're joined by Rhys Tate, Scotland Under-20s captain, and the captain on Saturday afternoon as well. Old Hoggate, Stuart Hogg, you're back with us. You're looking well. You're a bit tired. A lot of training under the belt already, but tell us, Hoggate, how it is to be back in the camp, looking ahead to another Guinness Six Nations. What, this be your 10th? This will be a 10th
edition? It makes me feel old now.
It will be, won't it? Is it 10?
Well, it's 10 years. 10 years. I think it's 11 Six Nations. But it's great to be back. You know, obviously, the buzz around camp has been very good. You know, we're in for a couple of days last week and then, you know, back in on Sunday. And now we're into the big test week. So, it's been a good start to the week. The prep's been pretty spot on. I'm excited to keep building towards the weekend.
And how about you, Rhys? Obviously, you guys are back in camp as well. Here, you've been booted outside into the wind because Hoggy doesn't want to play outside. how's your camp going so far?
No, it's been really good. Obviously, similar to Hoggy, we had a couple of days last week and then back in on Sunday. So it's been good. The boys are looking forward to getting stuck in on Friday night. Obviously, first time for a lot of them on the bigger stage, so it should be fun. Can't wait to get stuck into them.
You played last year, didn't you, in a kind of truncated or a different Six Nations stand in Cardiff. But I mean, how exciting is it? You're at Damhell Stadium on Friday night. I know you played a couple of games there recently, just warm up games, so you'll know it. But everybody will be excited. But just how excited are the squad looking ahead to the start?
I think it's nice to get like a home stadium. It's been for a few years we've had sort of been all over the shop, Netherdale, Myerside, but it's nice to sort of get an actual home ground so we can get all the fans along and obviously get behind us. So it should be really good.
And you had quite a lot of preparation as well. I know you've played two kind of internal games that were really beneficial, but you trained with the national coaches just after Christmas as well. How important was that, and how much did the players get from working with the national some of the national players and certainly the national coaches?
No, I think it was really influential. Obviously, coming off the back of a tough Six Nations last year, to get them first few sessions with the national coaches really got a few boys going, and it obviously helped a lot of the younger boys as well who are just coming into this environment for the first time. So, that's been good. And then to get into the internal games, we played a few against Scotland select team, which has been good. So we've had plenty of preparation anyway. I think it's four games we've played now. So I think we've prepared pretty well.
In terms of those internal matches, how do they go down with the squad? They're not something we look forward to much in the women's team.
I know it's pretty tough, obviously, playing against your pals, but I suppose it's one of them things that's good for to improve each other. And it's the first time all of us have played together, so I think it's pretty necessary that we get it done. But like you said, it is a bit of a pain having to tackle your pals and everything. But
it's a big part of the preparation. I know it's been going well, and I look forward to Friday. Hoggy, you said, you know, obviously the lads are in a good place. How much confidence do you take from the Autumn Nations series? It seems like a long time ago, but it isn't really in terms of kind of rugby time. So does that give kind of a foothold in terms of where the squad are ahead of the Six Nations, or is the Six Nations a completely new start again, as it quite often is?
It's a difficult one, Mossy, because we like to look back and see, you know, obviously we've analysed the South Africa game, the Japan game, the Australia game from the summer, and we're looking back at things that we've done well, and also things that where we think we can get a little bit better. You know, I think against South Africa, the kind of last 20 minutes, we didn't really get our breakdown skills right, something we worked on the week later on to play against Japan. But it's little things like that. We know fine well what we can do in terms of our attack, our defence, things that have worked well for us. But it's the tiny little bits and pieces that make our game you know, the complete package almost. And that's the kind of little breakdown skills that, that let us down. But can we look back on that as much as we'd like to? Probably not, because as you say, it's a completely different challenge. The Six Nations as a whole is completely different. We can look back and take a little bit of confidence, but does that guarantee us victories and playing well? Absolutely not. It's hugely exciting for us. It's a completely different, fresh challenge. England first up at home. We know it's going to be a hugely physical encounter. We're back at BT Murrayfield. We're back in front of our home fans. It doesn't get any bigger than that.
A lot of people have bigged up this squad, okay, in terms of, you know, we've talked about it a little bit in the podcast this last couple of weeks, in terms of being probably one of the strongest Scotland squads we've seen in a long time, and also people saying probably one of our best shots at Six Nations in a wee while as well. Is that something you as players think about or consider, or use as motivation, something as you as a leader consider or use in anything you're doing? Or do you just put it to the back of your mind and keep on the process?
Yeah, I think that the most important thing for us, Rachel, is over the last couple of years, we've had a lot of boys gain some valuable experience and allowed them to grow as individuals, as players, which has been massive for us. But every time we come into camp over the last couple of years, I felt that the squad's improved and the cohesion that we've got off the field, to me, speaks volumes for everything that happens on the field. And you get that right, it's half the battle. It's all about, for me as a captain especially, it's all about knowing the players as people, as well as rugby players. And that's massive. And, you know, asking them about their families, their interests, their hobbies outside of rugby, it gives you a huge amount of confidence in them as people and as players. So it's something that I've said to Gregor since taking over as captain. I'm never, ever going to sit and say we're going to win X, Y, and Z, because all it does is apply pressure to myself, apply pressure to the boys. I know fine well we can go out there and pick up some very good wins, but every single week is a different challenge, a different battle that we're going into, and no two games are going to be the same. So for us now, I'd love to sit here and say we're going to win X, Y, and Z, but the sole focus is on England this week and making sure that we start our campaign in the best possible way, which I truly believe we can.
Again, we say the Six Nations is different. It is. It's totally unique to any other competition. Momentum's key. Off to a good start's key. And you mentioned the crowd at BT Murrayfield. It'll be another inspirational afternoon for those who are lucky enough to be there. But totally agree with what you're saying, Hoggy. Everybody else evolves and improves as well. And if you look at the standard of the opposition, England will be better than they were last year. Certainly Ireland, France. I mean, everybody's evolving. So in order to top the achievements over the last X number of years, you have to improve at a greater rate than the opposition as well. There's some quality opposition you're going to be facing the next 5 weeks as well, or 7 weeks as well, isn't there?
Oh, 100%. Like, we've looked at England, obviously. The coaches have been looking at them since the autumn and what they've done. And they were absolutely incredible in the autumn series. You know, they beat the world champions and played some very, very good rugby. The thing about England is that they're kind of concentrating and talked up a lot about the people that are missing out, like Safarel and Marchant and all these kind of guys. But you think of the quality that they've got coming in behind. It's just nuts. It's nuts. Like, we've looked at a backline today of, you know, they've got options of playing Atkinson and Henry Slade or Henry Slade and, you know, lots of different other people. We're just like, where does all this talent come from? That excites us, because to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And England are up there with, you know, the best in world rugby. Let's not beat about the bush, they are. And it's always going to bring different challenges for us. But the big thing for me, and you'll have heard me say it numerous times on anything that I've done, is that I just want the boys to go out there and express themselves and have some fun and be the best version of themselves on a daily basis. Like, on training, we talk about squeezing every single thing out of the sessions as we possibly can. And you watched the session today, Mossy. It was up there with one of the best sessions I've been involved in. We were challenged by the non-23. And that's only going to stand us in good stead. But when I say bringing the best version of yourself every day, we're never going to be at our best. We're never going to be 90, 95%, 100% of what we can give. But if you're at 30 or 40 or 50% of your best, if that's the most you can give on any given day, then that's absolutely fine with me, because you're letting everything go. And in order for us to continue to grow as individuals, as a team. We just need to keep learning, improving, enjoying ourselves, being ourselves, and making sure that we're doing it with a smile on our face.
There's a few kind of nods to leadership in there, Rhys. You can pick up bits and pieces all the time. I know you'll know Hoggy well, and both Green Hoik men. We'll come up to that later. But what's your leadership style, Rhys? I know you big bat row, strong, lead from the front with ball in hand. But in terms of some of the things that Hoggy's touching on there, but getting to know the players and understand the players, how would you describe your leadership?
Definitely. I think I look to lead with how I play. Obviously, being a back row, like you say, it's pretty a quite influential position. So I obviously like big tackles, turnovers, things that are really important in the game. That's what I look to do and I love doing. So things that get the boys like riled up, that's what I love doing. So I think similar to what Hoggy's saying, just getting to know all the boys, and obviously with it being a new group every year, it's a bit harder for us, but we've done a lot of works with social connection groups and all that already, so it's been pretty good for getting to know everyone, and I think we've obviously still got a lot of learning to do. It's my first time being captain, but obviously I can take a wee leaf out of Hoggy's book, hopefully.
How many, you have a few returning as well from Cardiff last year, maybe a good 6 or 8 players maybe.
I think it's
last year.
14, I think.
As many as 14, so you can... You can rely on them and delegate responsibility to others as well, because there'll be a bit of experience as well as that excitement around about to help you along.
Definitely. Obviously, you've got the likes of Max, big Max Williamson. He's really good in the lineouts. He leads all the lineout stuff. We've got big Ollie Leatherbarrow coming back. Obviously, Tooney Junior in the backs. he obviously leads all the back stuff, but like you say, there's loads of leaders within the squad that you can look to help you and obviously lead their wee circles, but they all help me a lot. So,
and looking ahead to the weekend, obviously probably a pretty similar kind of opposition in terms of what you're expecting, but anything you've picked up on in terms of what England are likely to bring this weekend?
Obviously with them winning last year, it's a big occasion, but I think they've lost quite a few of their players last year. They always go for a sort of older group, so that's something that we'll look to sort of go up, because they're going to be like inexperienced at this level and maybe something that we can exploit. But I think we've got a real emphasis on going after them from minute one. Obviously they're going to come up here expecting, because obviously they finished top, we finished bottom last year, they'll expect to sort of roll over us. So we're really going to go after them from minute one, which is something we look to do.
I remember 2 years ago, the game at Myerside, actually, I think it was, I had a look back the other day, it was 21-17 that England came out on top. That was a game, I think, that, again, another one that Scotland could have won. But just looking through the names, like Rufus McLean was playing, Rory Darge, Ewan Ashman, quite a few others who are already involved in the national squad or have international experience. I think Freddie Stewart was started at fullback for England, who'll probably play this weekend as well. So, Rhys, does that kind of underlines it's not too far away, that dream, that possibility, that, you know, achievement of playing for Scotland, playing in the international arena, or being around the international arena. If you work hard, if you get it right, it's not too far away, is it?
Yeah. Obviously, you're right. I was saying to my dad the other day, Ken, he sort of said something along similar lines, and I was like, Ken, you look at 12-year-old Rhys when I was doing it at the volunteer park watching Hoik Lundin, kind of, this was what I dreamt of doing. And then obviously on Friday night, I'm going to be running out, leading out my team. So I said, I'm just going to like try to play with a smile on my face and just enjoy it, like take it in, do you know what I mean? But like you say, it's not too far away, but I'd rather focus on the here and now for the minute.
And when you were 12-year-old, what was Hoggy doing? He'd be inspiring you, was he?
Playing Six Nations, I think. That's probably his fifth by then, probably.
Do you know each other? I know your families know each other, both the Hoik. No. Do you know each other?
I think I actually held Hoggy's horse about 6 years ago, I think.
You might have to explain holding a horse.
So obviously the common riding big event in Hoik, and we have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday hut, which is sort of where all the people gather before going to the race course. And Hoggy was obviously riding. I think he was actually, he got told off for riding, didn't you, that day?
I could say it because I'm not employed by Scottish Rugby now, but I did.
No comment.
That would be 2016 race.
Was it? Wasn't it too?
Yeah, because my best mate was Cornet that year, Ewan Riley, so I jumped on the horse in the Thursday night chase. So I remember it now, that's mental.
You're riding that muckle big horse.
You know, Reese, we were kind of told, the last kind of person I was told about that could seriously make it and have a bit of talent was Darcy. Mm-hmm. And I really took note of that. I sat and watched Darcy a couple of times, and I was like, look, he looks very, very good. The next person that we've heard about has been Reese. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Reese has done well because he's gone off to Zebra School, played a very good level of rugby, which is probably, you know, stood him in good stead to where he is at this minute. I think we had a conversation a couple of years ago because Reese was moving to Exeter to go to uni. Mm-hmm. pre-COVID, and I said to his old man that I'd look after him every now and then if need be. And next thing, he's back up in Hoik because it is COVID. So
I thought you were going to say because your babysitting wasn't very good.
Well, I reckon, we'll see. I've got three kids. If they're running riot, they're running riot. But I think it's been brilliant because obviously it was quality last week when we found out that Reese was going to be captain in the side, and I sent him a message just saying that I was chuffed to bits for him, and you know, I was here if he needed to have a chat and stuff. But look, yeah, everything that Reese has done is because he's made the sacrifices to get to where he wants to be, and you know, just keep plugging away, and I've no doubt he could be sitting alongside us very, very soon.
Yeah, just jumping about a wee bit, Bruce, but Super Six was really important as well, wasn't it? I remember watching two or three of your games, and you know, Barrowmuir didn't win as many as you'd like, but were really competitive, and you yourself was stood out in a couple of games where I think you actually came out on the losing side. How important or how good was it to get exposed to that level of rugby over the last few months?
I think I've spoken about this a few times. I think it's a great sort of bridge between the amateur and the pro game, because obviously players like myself that are coming through off the back of the 20s campaign and that filled that sort of void, you can, boys that weren't making it in the pro game quite yet, it gives them a sort of like level to play at, if that makes sense. But obviously, like you say, Barrowmuir, we didn't win too many games, but I think that almost helped me a bit because I was obviously a regular starter and I got, well, virtually 80 minutes every week. So I got basically ultimate exposure at that level, which was really good for me. And by the end of the tournament, I was coming on to some of the best rugby I've played. So, it was definitely really important for me.
Flipping back, as we say, jumping around a little bit, but going back to the under-20s, obviously you're one of the more experienced players. So you were obviously in last year when Sean was in charge, but now with the new coach, Kenny Murray, coming in, what have you found is kind of been the key differences, and what's he looking for from the squad this season?
Well, obviously I knew Kenny from Glasgow. He did a lot of the non-23 stuff at Glasgow, so we had a decent relationship before this already. But he's definitely came in, like, really switched on. A lot of the boys have been really impressed with him. Obviously, he only came in last week or something, so it's been a short turnaround for him, but he's came in obviously knowing exactly what he's wanting to work on with the boys, what he needs to do. So, he's definitely been really good. A lot of focus on defence, obviously, being a defence coach at Glasgow, which suits me because obviously that's what I love. But, he's definitely been really, really good so far.
And we tiptoeing towards the game, Hoggy, the biggie. That is a total unique, as I said before, it's a total unique fixture. It always is. It's always so inspirational. How does the rest of the week look like for you? As I said, you said 11th championship season now. You'll be used to these big games, but how does the rest of the week pan out? Can you relax a wee bit ahead of Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I think I can relax, mostly because it makes my life a lot easier when you've got the leadership group in and around you. You know, Finn Russell, Ali Price, Big Gilko, Jamie Ritchie and Rambo. Like, today was a massive defensive day for us, and you know, we got a lot out of the session. The best thing about the whole session, Mossy, is I didn't have to speak at all. Mm. You know, left it to the boys that are in control of their defence. And it just allowed me to to concentrate on doing my job. And again, it'll be very similar on Thursday. We'll leave it to Finn and Ali when it's our attack day. I'll just chip in every now and then when I have to. But do I relax before the game? I do, because I've got complete trust in my teammates that they're going to go out and do their job. And we'll just start to build the excitement and touch a little bit on the emotion towards the end of the week, but mainly excitement to go out there and express ourselves and, you know, hopefully come home a good one.
A few teammates or club teammates potentially in the opposition as well, so getting one over them and up the sleeve will help.
That would be absolutely tremendous, because it was a few of them that put the Japanese flags up when we got from the World Cup in 2019. So, yeah, they've been a bit quiet over the last few years, but they're now they've got some quality players, as I say, Henry Slade and Jack Noll will no doubt be 13 and 14, and you know, some of my best mates and down in Exeter, and it'd be a bit strange to play against them, but like it's Scotland versus England, I can get up for that any day.
Good on you. Perfect. Well, Rach, great to catch up, wasn't it? Massive thanks to Reese and to Hoggy. Guys, good luck the weekend. I'll certainly be at both games. Friday night, Reese, Dam Health and Edinburgh, and then a big one at BT Murrayfield, Hoggy on Saturday. Thanks for your time. I know it's said before, really busy in the build-up to the Six Nations, but to spend time with us and be as open, we really appreciate it. And good luck for the weekend.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Good luck.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
I don't think we needed a translator in the end. Maybe we were worried with a couple of Hoik man and a Gala man, but we got by. But great to hear them being so open and really impressed with we know how good Hoggy is in terms of on field and off field, and you can sense his confidence and his, you know, kind of relationship with the squad just coming through in that chat. But somebody maybe we don't know as well as Reese, but you can see just be impressed by, you know, what it means to play for Scotland and how he's going about in his early career. So great to have him along.
Yeah, no, he definitely sounds as if you know, he's not taken the kind of, I guess, the responsibility lightly, but he's definitely approaching it with the right mindset in terms of, you know, he's not trying to do something he's not. He recognises that he's very much a leader who leads with the way he plays, and it's also promising to hear that, you know, sometimes I think when you lead when you're younger, you don't kind of lean on other leaders within your squad. You try and take it all on yourself. So to hear that he's already, you know, relying on, you know, various players within his team is also shows a real sign of maturity. And I think the best thing, you know, the best advice he said and could give anyone, and I'd completely agree with him, is just go out and play with a smile on your face and enjoy it, because ultimately that's what it's all about. So it's exciting time and nice to see another back row in a leadership role.
he's good, he's tough, he's hard as they come, he's good over ball, good defender, good ball car, just a really good rugby player, to be honest. Yeah. But it will be hard for the under-20s. They haven't played a lot. Some of the players won't have played a huge amount of rugby, mainly, you know, in the last couple of years because of COVID, representative rugby, international rugby. It's really difficult to get those kind of meaningful international minutes under your belt when, you know, to be honest, when the pandemic struck, these guys would be 16, 17, maybe 18. So there's a big bit in the rugby education missing. So it will be hard. That's why I think the work they've done with the national coaches was really good and mixing with the national squad and being exposed to that level of training. But as always, at age grade, England under-20s will be strong. They'll have players who play consistently in the Premiership in England and involved with top teams. But as I say, that sometimes, maybe wishful thinking in some ways, can work against England, because having so many quality individuals, the cohesion as a team sometimes isn't there. Whereas I think it seems to be that the under-20s are really working on that cohesion as a unit, because they're going to have to pull together because they don't have too much experience.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it's recognition of where they're at as a squad. And setting realistic targets and realistic expectations. I think taking each game as it comes is probably essential for a squad like that's not had a lot of game time. That game against England, you know, they are probably playing against one of the best sides in the age grade game. You know, and it's going to be an opportunity to really see where they're at. They'll have a huge amount of learnings off the back of it, as you always do when you play a team of that calibre, and they'll just continue to grow as the competition goes on, and and hopefully come together more and more as it progresses.
And the national team, it's a settled team, isn't it? It's an experienced team. I mean, we've spoken the last 3 or 4 weeks about, firstly, how many quality players would you have missed out in the actual training squad, the wider squad, because there's such a depth. Now you're looking at, you know, then match day 23, there's a lot of quality players obviously missed out, but there's a huge amount of quality and experience in there. It's a settled physical side that McGregor's gone for for the opening match, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're a side that performed really well over the autumn. You know, we've talked about those games a lot and we touched on it today, but I think if it's not broke, don't fix it in some ways. And that is a side that we know can play well together, are playing well together, and they're building, they're getting better and better. So, you know, why not give them this next opportunity to keep pushing forward? You know, Hoggy touched on it, the non-23 really pushing them in training. And I've no doubt that the competition within training and you know, for selection for this game will have been unbelievably tight for some of those positions. But I do think a game like this against England, and like you say, it's so important to start off on the right note in a Six Nations. So it's probably not a big surprise that they've gone for a settled squad, because again, those are players who are playing well for their team, their various club teams as well.
And on the bench, is it possibility a debut for Ben White, London Irish come half, and possibly for a second cap for Sione as well. So rewarding players who are playing well. Club-wise, Magnus Bradbury is another one who's on the bench who's had a cracking last few weeks for Edinburgh. So you're right to point at the, I suppose, the cohesion and the understanding from the Open Nation series. But there's a few guys knocking on the door who are playing particularly well at the moment as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Sione, for me, I don't know a huge amount about Ben White. I have seen him play, but not enough to maybe comment as much as you could. But Sione, for me, is probably made for a game like England. You know, it's going to be a physical battle. And he plays with a huge amount of physicality, but he does bring something a bit different. You know, his running lines are really clever. You know, he finds space where you wouldn't think there's space, and he's just an all-round, a really good player. And I think this type of game will really suit his style, and to come on probably in that second half, you know, he'll bring something to that game. So I'm excited to see how he goes, because he's been electric for Glasgow.
Yeah, so who knows? As I say, that we've mentioned it about 3 or 4 times in this chat alone about getting off to a good start, momentum in the Six Nations, it's huge. I mean, you can't underline that enough. You have to get the right balance of emotion, you have to get the right balance of preparation, you have to get the right balance of taking the weather into consideration. It's just an utterly unique game that we all look forward to, and I suppose we're spoiled because it's first up and it's Saturday afternoon, and I say we'll look forward to it, and we'll discuss what happens next week.
Can't wait.
Well, thanks to you for listening to the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Thanks to Reece Tate and Stuart Hogg for their time in a test week, and then we just look forward to the game at the weekend. Good luck to everybody involved, and we'll have another look at what happens next week.